Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You can hang up being there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I'm
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
But you say, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
So today, Asheville, North Carolina passes reparations for the black community there. So whatever it is they decide to do in terms of their reparations, still, to me, makes no sense. Like, why does anybody need reparations? It is freaking hot out here. Why does anybody in today's America need reparations? I know I talked about this in a video before, and apparently I got, you know, some people didn't like it, but I mean, the truth of it is, you weren't a slave. And there's like 100% chance that you don't even know anybody that was a slave. Anywhere. Nobody owes reparations. Everything that's happening right now is being pushed by one group of people. A group of people that don't care about each other. A group of people that don't really even care about their community. They say they do, but they don't, or they wouldn't be tearing it up. So what they do is they go out and they push for free shit. You know, they go out, they say, give us some money, give us some land, give us investments, says reparations, whatever it is, but you're going to give us something because we're black. That makes no sense. That makes no sense at all. How about you give yourself something? How about you get your ass up and you go to work and you make your own reparation? Then you won't need reparations. You don't need the shit anyway. And nobody needs to pay you reparations, and no city council and no government needs to give you anything because you're black. That doesn't matter. That's racist. If you give only black people shit, that's racist. Everything that's being done right now is racist. Statues being torn down because black people want them torn down. They tear them down. They start changing names to everything. Sports teams.
Syrup bottles.
I mean, what? Is that not enough reparation? You're changing America. You're changing everything it does. You're making like 50% of Americans afraid to say even say the word black. Hell, they probably wear a black t-shirt because they're afraid to get beat up because they wore a black t-shirt because it's racist. Get out of here with that shit. What you're doing and the agenda being pushed is racist. And your racist movement and your racist demands is only going to make more racism. Where do you think these reparations are going to come from? First off, when they start these reparations, it ain't only going to come, it's going to be a taxed thing. It will be taxes for other people to pay for. And do you really think that the government's going to take the time out to make sure that they're not taxing all the black people, that they're only taxing everybody else to pay the reparations? Do you not really think you're going to be paying your own reparations? It's going to come out of everybody's everything. Oh, except for you guys that don't work and you just sit around and waiting on reparations. The only people that are slaves anymore, and that is you. You make yourself a slave. When you make yourself a slave to the mentality that is being pushed around right now. You make yourself a slave to the ideas that somebody owes you something. Then you turn around and you make yourself a slave into your own mind. You convince yourself of all this bad shit and that everything happens because you're black. I just don't understand how this makes any sense. We're changing everything, like I said. Everything in America is getting turned around, getting changed. Names are getting changed. People won't say things. People won't act certain ways. People won't stand up for themselves. People won't stand up for anything that's right now because they're scared of the repercussion or that somebody might do something to them. Well, I'm going to tell you just like this. Reparations is bullshit. Simple as that. Taking down monuments, bullshit. Being able to say and do anything you want without recourse because of a man that got killed a couple months ago, let me tell you how oppressed anybody in this country is. If I went out right now and I go downtown and I start bashing out windows and I start burning shit and I say, oh, well, it's because I know a guy that got killed by cops. Do you know what they're going to do? They're going to take me to jail. And that's it. Okay? But all these people looting and burning and protesting and tearing up and beating up and killing and blah, 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 all that good shit, they're not going to jail. Yeah, they're picking up a few of them here and there, but you're real oppressed because you can go out here and do all this shit. They got your face all over the camera and they just let you go because you're black right now. This ain't about white and black, even though it's not. This is about being able to do and say whatever you want. Everybody is kissing ass right now, so we can start telling them we're going to demand this and demand that, and they're just going to do it. Don't work that way everywhere. Funny because every time I go out in town where I live, I look around and I continue to think, like, how come that only happens in the big cities? You don't see these little country ass towns out here, people burning, looting, and fighting and crying because they're black. I got black people where I live. I got white people, black people, Asian people, Hispanic people. I got everybody here. Ain't nobody in my town crying about anything. We had one little group of protesters show up a couple months ago, probably 20 people from out of state, not even from here. They parked at one of our grocery stores and walked up to the city hall, peaceful. They said what they needed to say. They did a little talk thing, a little speech, and they left. This is ridiculous. We're way past reparations. You know, anytime I ever look at, if I go out in town and I look at somebody, and they're black, I never think about a slave. I don't. And I'm not going to. I don't think about it in a negative way. I don't think about it in a positive way. I just don't think about it because it's not a thing. That's why. That's why I don't think about it. We're way past all that bullshit now. And if you think that these politicians that are giving you these things and giving you leeway and letting shit happen, you think they care about you and your community? They don't care about you. All they care about is hoping that they can secure a vote from you because they threw some money at you. Or because they threw a piece of land at you. I don't know where this is all going to go from here. But what I can tell you is that if you are one of these people that cry about reparations, then you aren't doing anything but trying to get something for free. That's it. You don't care. You don't really give a shit. It's a reason to say, give me, you owe me something. Just like I said before, you don't care about that. You don't give a shit about slavery. You don't, it's not here. You don't care anymore. I bet when you sit around at home, I bet you ain't sitting around talking about slavery and how bad it was for my ancestors. I bet that ain't the conversation at home. It's just when you get out here in the public and you can start making demands because
slavery.
Anyway, guys, I'm gonna try to cut this one off here. But my point I'm trying to make is everything that's happening in our country right now is racist towards everybody except for black people. And that's it. I'm not trying to say that in a hateful way. I'm not trying to say that in a hateful, derogatory manner, but it is. You're tearing down all the statues in our history, things that don't even have to do with the Civil War. You're tearing down all kinds of statues that are not even involved with slavery. No, see what I'm saying? It don't even make sense. We're past that. Your point, Black Lives Matter's point, is bullshit. Black Lives Matter's cause is bullshit. Anyway, guys, I'm gonna try to cut it off here. All I'm trying to say is, everything being pushed in this country right now is towards the black community. It's Black Lives Matter. It's reparations. It's monuments and statues. It's flags. It's kneeling at the sporting events. That's it. I mean, everything, looting, burning, nothing matters to anybody at this point. And unfortunately, what they don't realize is doing everything they're doing is racist. Maybe they do realize it, and they just don't care. That's probably a lot of it. But at the same time, the majority of this is grabbing for something free. That's it. Just like the stupid-ass AOC comment. Talking about the looter stealing bread. People ain't stealing bread. Not when you're breaking in banks. You ain't stealing bread. Well, I guess you're stealing bread, but you ain't stealing bread. But you ain't, when you break into the Gucci store, when you go into the Nike store and run out with 14 boxes of shoes, there ain't no bread in that. You ain't feeding your family. That's reparations. Get out of here with that shit, man. Anyway, it's not far, guys, that if the government is not going to stand up and they're just going to let this shit happen, it's getting time to start standing up. It's getting time to do something about it, because the government's not going to do it. The police can't do it because they're all defunded. And let me rephrase that. They're all defunded in the cities where the people want to do the shit. They're not defunded where I live. You know why? Because we respect our law enforcement. Because as long as you do what you're asked here, you're probably not going to even be touched. So they want to defund the police so they can get their reparations in other cities in their own way. They've already got their reparations. Anyway, all right, you guys, later.
In a historic move, the city council in Asheville, North Carolina voted unanimously to approve a reparations resolution for black residents. The resolution calls for the city to make investment in areas where black residents face disparities. It also asked the city manager to create a plan to build generational wealth and boost economic mobility in the black community. The resolution also includes a formal apology for the role the city played in slavery and enforcing racist policies. And Gail, we should note the resolution stopped short of stipulating direct payments, but we're seeing momentum for measures like this in places like Providence, Rhode Island, and California. And Gail, the fact that this is happening in a former Confederate state was noted by Keith Young, one of the two African American member council members. He said, hundreds of years of black blood spilled that basically fills the cup we drink from today.
Man, I say go Asheville, North Carolina. You know, a lot of people are opening themselves up to this conversation for the very first time. I think it's important when you look at the history, you'll have a better understanding about why so many people are pushing for that. So I think this is a good thing.
Okay, it's Green Bay Wacky. I've got a morning story for you. Maybe you haven't woke up yet. Maybe you haven't read the news, but it's out there. And boy, this one's going to stir some emotions, I have no doubts. All I can say on this one, if you're going to comment in the comment section, please be nice, because this is definitely going to get emotional. Here it is. This one is touchy. It's Asheville, North Carolina. They are apologizing and they voted to give black residents reparations. Now, it's all over the internet. You can see story after story after story, and it goes on. I'll just grab one real quick. This one is on the Root. It doesn't really matter. It's all the same. It was a 7-0 vote. Reached Tuesday night. Tuesday night. Now, they're saying it might not be in the form of direct payments. It may be investing in the black communities, that type of thing. I don't know what to think of this. I'm going to be honest. And I hope I'm not called bad names. Look, the sins of the father argument, I don't know. Nobody's alive that was alive back then. I don't know the merits of this. I really don't, because I have a feeling it might eventually lead to people getting money, payments. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't even know how this would work, because there's a lot of questions in my mind, and I'm not, 100% historian of how everything happened. I do know that there were some black people that owned slaves. I don't believe all black people were slaves. I don't know what my ancestry is. I don't think anyone really can. How would this work? It would just be based on if your skin is dark, you get reparation payments. You see where I'm going with this? I don't know. I really don't know if this is a good road to go down. I don't think there's anyone alive right now that, thinks that was a good thing that happened back then. I really don't. I mean, seriously, but do we cough up money for this to people that live today, weren't alive then, and nobody else is alive from back then? I don't know. It's emotional. I want to hear your comments. A lot of questions. Again, I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. I don't know if it's a good road to go down. I don't, because, what about the, every race, Asians, white, black, everyone, bad things have happened to a lot of different races for a lot of different reasons. Are we going to start reparations and paying and nitpicking? And then, I know with some Indian tribes, they have casinos, for example. They have to prove their bloodline leading back to such and such. How will this work? You'll have to prove your bloodline back to someone that was actually a slave, or it'll be based, the color of your skin gets you a payment. I'm not kidding. This is a lot to think about, a lot to soak in. Tell me what you think. Green Bay Wacky out.
I support reparations. We're going to get reparations.
Welcome back to Redirecting. Another interesting development in the subject of reparations. Again, 2020 has been one of those years of many different things just coming out and many different things happening, and so we're just going to add this right into it. The only thing about this is this subject of reparations is only one area. We're talking about Asheville, North Carolina. Apparently, their city council members unanimously Tuesday that paves the way for reparations to the city's black residents. So I'm going to read some of this article for you, and of course, there are things that need to be understood, because for some, they believe that reparations can be things that we might not necessarily agree with. There's been talk before about giving reparations in terms of free education and stuff like that, and most of us ain't having that. We're like, free education? Even people with education can't get jobs in an economy like this. So what good is that education going to do, especially when you've had other groups of people getting land and money and just all kinds of things, tax-free living, but you want to give black people education?
Now, I know some of you who whose pride and joy is education, you don't understand me responding that way, okay? Education does not guarantee you a solid future. It doesn't guarantee you a wonderful life. But hand somebody some land, some money, and tax-free existence, I would take that over a free education any day. Anyway, let me get into some of the article. It says the resolution apologized for Asheville's past involvement with slavery and the systemic discrimination that developed out of the practice. It called on leaders at the local, state, and federal level to right past wrongs as well. Details will be hashed out over the coming year. The city will form a community reparations commission to make short, medium, and long-term recommendations to address the damage caused by public and private systemic racism. City management were also tasked with developing short, medium, and long-term recommendations to specifically address the creation of generational wealth and the boost of economic mobility and opportunity for Black residents. I apologize for that quick interruption. Someone was just asking me if I wanted pancakes. anyway, let me continue on. The resolution acknowledged systemic problems faced. Hold on, let me answer their question. No, thank you, sweetheart.
Do you want pancakes?
No, thank you. By the way, family, that is a walkie-talkie, and if I don't turn it off, they don't know that I'm recording all the time, so that just kind of got in there, and it's going to have to stay because I don't feel like editing it out. I've already gotten into this reading, and so I'm going to go ahead and finish, but I apologize for that. But anyway, it says the resolution acknowledged systemic problems facing the Black community, including racist housing policies, discriminatory education practices, and wage and economic disparities, among other issues. Anti-racism protests staged large demonstrations in Asheville, as in many places around the country, after the police killing of George Floyd, a Black man in Minnesota. Activists were able to successfully use the momentum to push the resolution forward. It is not simply enough to remove statues. Black people in this country are dealing with issues that are systemic in nature, said Asheville Council Member Keith Young, one of two Black representatives on the council and the main proponent of the resolution. Council Member Shanika Smith and other Black representatives received emails asking why residents should pay for what happened during slavery, she told the City Times. At least one other caller said the resolution was divisive during the Tuesday night council meeting. Of course, they think it's divisive, but it wasn't slavery divisive too? But anyway, let me continue on. Slavery is this institution that serves as the starting point for the building of the strong economic floor for white America while attempting to keep Blacks subordinate forever to its progress, Smith said. Activists pushing for reparations at the national level face a steep uphill climb, but they have had more success at the local level and the state level. Okay, so the state of North Carolina in 2013 set aside $10 million to make direct monetary payments to Black people, mostly women and girls, forcibly sterilized as part of the Depression-era eugenics program. The fund was later opened up to surviving family members. Okay, so basically, there's this push in one city only, but don't be surprised if more follow suit. Notice they said that on the national level, it is an uphill battle. And notice the pushback they're getting, too. You have white people today saying that they shouldn't be responsible for what happened a long time ago. But they totally missed the point that was made by the person that was spoken of in the article, that they are still benefiting from what happened during slavery to this day, because the system was built around keeping them elevated. okay? The system was built around that. And so this is why you have unfair housing, unfair lending, all of this. So once you have these systems in place, everyone gets used to it except for the black person. The black person will be like, this system is not good for me. It hurts me. It hurts my family. It hurts my progress. But you have white people who feel like if you try to right the wrongs, that is divisive. Divisive to who? Trying to help other people get a hand up is divisive, because when you see an injustice towards others and you have someone else saying, fix that injustice, you see that as some type of injustice against you when nothing is being taken from you. I mean, tax dollars are being spent for all kinds of foolishness and nonsense. But when it comes to righting the wrongs of the past, you have this pushback where people are now thinking it's unfair. I mean, look at all of the other groups and nations of people who have received reparations. Why is it that when so-called black people even get just a mention or even a thought of reparations coming our way, then you get people biting, kicking, and screaming in the background, sending emails, opposing, allowing anger to ramp up in their hearts at the mere conversation being had about black people receiving reparations? So again, this is just Asheville, North Carolina. It would be great if others join in, because I believe that this would be a good move. I mean, look at the people who have suffered. Look at our people and the suffering we continue to go through. And I'm not talking about every individual black person. Of course, many have made it out of certain situations. But as a whole, who can argue that black people are on top of anything? Who can say that? Okay, you like to look at those who have made it out as the example to say, oh, everything is fair. But you don't want to deal with the fact that everything is not fair and that the system is still against so-called black people. I knew black people who had A1 perfect credit and the income to back it up, who couldn't get a simple $5,000 loan from a bank without having to jump through major hoops. My husband and I have actually talked to white people who we would have certain conversations with from time to time. It happens, y'all. But they would say that they can get a signature loan where all they needed was their name signed on a dotted line, and they can get $100,000 like that. I've even heard of white people who had horrible credit, and they would say, we haven't made a payment in 3 months. Let's go to the bank and see if we can get a loan. I thought that falling behind on your payments was one of the things that they looked at to determine whether you were even worthy of a loan. But yet they can go in 3 months behind and get that loan? Definitely a difference in how things are being looked at. So anyway, I just wanted to chime in on this subject of reparations again. Hopefully this progress in this one area will span around the whole country. And not just that, maybe better details of what that's going to be, what the reparations is going to be, will come forward, because certainly we're not looking for any that end with everything else. That's fine. But to say that that's all you get, period, that's a joke. Why not? Because of what our people have gone through and continue to go through for hundreds of years, why not give the free education, the free land, tax-free, and a financial payout? We'll take the education if it comes with all the other stuff too. But if that's all you're offering, not interested. With that, I am out.
Be sure to ring the bell to be notified of new uploads on this channel. And also, comment, share, like, and subscribe.
I support reparations. We're going to get reparations. Okay? But I got 5 issues with the reparations movement.
Okay, can we hear them?
Issue number 1. I haven't seen any accounting with regard to the psychological damage that was done to African people. All I see is a focus on 243 years of unpaid labor. That's important. But that 243 years of unpaid labor is nothing compared to 400 years of psychological terrorism.
Yes.
Where is the accounting for the psychological damage? You understand?
I understand.
Why do successful black men marry outside of their race more than all other men put together marry outside of theirs? Psychological terrorism of white supremacy. Why do most black women feel in order to be beautiful, they gotta put somebody else's hair on their head? That's psychological terrorism. Why do successful black people feel they have to live in a white suburb to feel like they've made it? That's psychological terrorism. You see, that is the continual residual side effects of Ma'afa, i.e. post-traumatic slavery disease. You can pay us for 243 years, but that does nothing to undo the menticide. We need an accounting on the psychological damage that was done to the African, and that psychological damage is worth 100 times more than the unpaid labor. Number two, if we're going to talk about reparations, it cannot stop with 1865 and the 13th Amendment. Or are we going to let them off the hook for the last 154 years of the same thing? See, don't stop this at 1865. Bring it all the way up to 2019. And one of the things that must be accounted for and restored and repaired is the fact that white folks have stolen tens of thousands of acres of black land in this country at gunpoint that we are entitled to get back. So where is the conversation about returning the stolen lands back to black folks? See, we're dealing with gentrification, right? They're pushing us out of our neighborhood. But how much of those neighborhoods they're pushing us out of were actually owned by black folks 100 years ago? There must be a reclamation of the land. Next, I haven't seen anybody mention the Arabs and the role that they played in the slavery. The Arabs were trading slaves before the white man, and they still trade them to this very day. Are we only dealing with the British? What about the Arabs? Deal with everybody.
Right.
Next, there was one slave, but all of the reparations movements are divided like tribes. There's an English reparations for the slaves of Europe. There's a North American reparations for the slave of America. The Caribbean have their own reparations. Africa got their own reparations. Why do you have all these different reparations movements when there was one slavery that took us from one place? The reparations movement needs to be unified or it will fail. Why? Because the slave master will play us against each other so none of us get nothing. Let me give you an example. If America says you owe us $20 billion, hypothetically, and Jamaica says you owe us $40 billion, white man gonna say, well, if I owe black America $20, how can I possibly owe you $40? In other words, if we don't collaborate with the arguments, they'll be able to expose contradictions in all of our arguments, and none of us will get nothing. So there must be a unity of movement. Last thing. I don't want any money from America for reparations because American money ain't worth anything. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by diamonds. It's not backed by silver. I don't want no. The worst thing we could do is take a check from America because America's money is only a promissory note. So what do you mean, Doc? I'm saying that the reparations should take the form of things and assets and privileges and resources and rights that can never expire. Why?
Okay.
Because the benefit of slavery to America can never expire. So whatever we accept as payment for it should equally never expire. I want control over certain land forever. Certain waterways forever. Certain resources forever. Certain institutions forever. Because America will forever benefit from me, so I should forever benefit from her.
That's fire right there.
Before there can be external reparations, there must be internal restoration. I want y'all to hear this. One other point I'm going to disagree on with the Queen, respectfully. money will not save us. I know, but hear me. Hear me. Right, but hear me. But you said the money would help us. No, it won't. Okay. People argue that the money will help us, not you. But people argue that the money will help. I'm here to tell y'all, listen to me now. I don't care how much money they give you in reparations, and I've already made it clear I don't want any money, right? It won't help you. Do you want to know why? Because the problem of the Negro is profoundly psychological. It's not monetary. You blow $2 trillion a year. You blow $2 trillion a year. So is the reparations dollar any different than the ones you already got in your pocket? What are you going to do differently with the reparations check than what you're doing now? Let me tell you. Let me say this. I'm for reparations. I want to be clear. But what I'm for first is for us to not be so thirsty for a check and look within the community and build infrastructure. Because if the black dollar doesn't circulate not even one time before it leaves, how fast do you think your reparations dollars are going to leave? Do you realize we don't have any infrastructure or businesses to trap the money? In other words, the Chinese can't wait till you get reparations. Mercedes-Benz can't wait till you get reparations. I heard they're going to open up a reparations hair store and have a reparations weave sale. I heard Foot Locker going to have an Air Jordan reparations special for all you Negroes. Because as soon as you get your check, you're going to take it straight to white folks and Chinese. All I'm saying is we're entitled to it. We will get it. But I would hope. That we would care enough about our great-grandkids, great-grandkids, to build the infrastructure that can trap the money inside before we get it. Otherwise, we're gonna blow it, and we only got one chance.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Today's podcast is titled The Asheville, North Carolina Reparations Okie Doke. Once again, the Asheville, North Carolina Reparations Okie Doke. All right, you've heard that in some of the audio that we've played that the city of Asheville, North Carolina has passed some legislation that pushes the envelope a little bit further for black folks to get reparations in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina specifically, Asheville, North Carolina. So let's learn a little bit more about Asheville, North Carolina. The city of Asheville, North Carolina has a city population of 83,393. 2019 estimate is 92,870 people. The metro area has over 424,000. But let's deal with the city because I'm taking for granted that you've got to live in the city proper. So on the high end, that would be 92,870 people that live in the city proper of Asheville, North Carolina. Now, let's break this down demographically. The racial composition of Asheville, North Carolina is 77.9% white folks, 17.61% black or African American, 3.76% Hispanic or Latino American, 0.92% Asian American, 0.35% Native American, 0.06% Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander, 1.53% some other race, and 1.58% two or more races. Now, there were 30, well, let's get down to something that Dr. Umar played, and we're going to play another audio before we go to the phone lines here. Now, it's interesting, at least to me, of all people, that the city of Asheville, North Carolina, with a racial composition, which is 77.995% white folks, they signed off on this. And then the city, I guess they're talking about, whatever way they're going to do it, because they already stated in the current legislation for reparations in Asheville, they stopped short of they didn't mention anything about direct deposits. Okay. But this will benefit 17% of the city. And that's the black population. Well, before I open up the phone lines, let's go with another audio of Umar Johnson, and let's let you guys weigh in on it. But I'm calling this, like, see, today's podcast is titled The Asheville, North Carolina Reparations Okie Doke. Now, we already know, so far in the legislation, the idea of black folks in Asheville, North Carolina, in this bit of legislation, ain't nobody getting a direct check. All right, so after we play this next audio, you know, let's analyze.
Do you feel that we should be concerned with what's owed to us as far as reparations and things that were stolen?
Excellent question. I believe we should be concerned with things that are owed to us as it relates to reparations, things that were stolen, unpaid wages from slavery. However, the question becomes, what do you prioritize? Do you prioritize your external reparations or do you prioritize your internal reparations? See, for me, the internal always precedes the external, and that the external should not come until the internal has taken place, or the external will benefit the oppressor more than it benefits you. In other words, I think there's white people who are praying for black people to get reparations. I'm going to say it again. I think there's white people who are praying for black people to get reparations. Why? Because we have no internal infrastructure. We have no economic cyclical network. If we got $1 trillion today for slavery, white folks would be $1 trillion richer tomorrow. Because where are you spending it? With white businesses, white restaurants, white hotels, white airlines. You're buying homes from white realtors. So if you don't have an economic network to capture your money, it goes back to the people who gave it to you. So my message to the reparations movement, don't stop the fighting. But as hard as you fight for reparations, you should be fighting equally hard for internal reparations. Let's take the $1 trillion we have already and build the political economic infrastructure in the black community so when we are paid back, when we receive our financial retribution that was due to our ancestors, we'll be able to capture it. If you can't capture the $1 trillion that you are generating already, that you're spending disproportionately on malt liquor, disproportionately on Korean manufactured hair, disproportionately on European automobiles, disproportionately on vacationing, if you can't even contain the $1 trillion spending power you got now, what the hell are you going to do with $100 trillion of that? You see? So my thing is, I think we're putting a cart before the horse. You understand? Put the horse first. And the horse is internal reparations. Internal. And the reason I say internal comes first, external comes second, in addition to the reason I already gave, is it eats away at your motivation and resolve and your self-reliance to change your situation. If you say, I need reparations to fix black America, you're giving our progress, the control of our progress over to our oppressor. You're saying we can't fix our problems until the white man pays us. So until the white man pays us, we don't fix our problems. So you're giving him control over black progress. Don't give him that victory. Because if the white man says, black folks don't think they could do nothing until we give them reparations. Oh, wow, really? Well, don't give them none. I guess they'll never do nothing. No, you don't say that. And what that does is it makes black folks complacent. Well, we need reparations. Until we get reparations, we can't fix anything. You see, we become apathetic. No, we can't do nothing. We need the money that reparations is going to give us. And my question is, how much more money are you going to get than the money that you're blowing anyway? You're worried about being paid, but you're not worried about saving what you already have. Deal with the internal contradictions first. If we don't, we will blow this reparations movement if we don't take care of home first before we start going out to war with the European. My question is for the reparations movement. Number one, who are the lawyers arguing this? How much are they to be paid as a result of the payout? Because most lawyers get anywhere from 25 to 45% commission on the lawsuit. Are they doing this out of the good of their heart? I'm doing this purely because I love African people. I don't want no commission. Or is this a capitalistic, opportunistic scheme where they get 45% of the reparations payout? Because I'm not hearing nobody talk about that. Is this pro bono? And do we have a contract with the attorneys of the reparations movement that say it is pro bono? In other words, you get paid, but no more than the next African does. Or is this some type of hustle? Because you got to watch the opportunists amongst us. We have them. Every people has opportunists. You understand? So I'm looking for that. Because some corporations who participated in slavery have already made payouts. Certain NAACP chapters around the country have been paid by banks that was linked to slavery. They settled. In other words, they got bought out. I want to know who's involved. Because the white man will come along and say, listen, we owe black folk $1 trillion, but we're going to pay the lawyers for the reparations movement a couple million. So they knock down the overall asking price. So we got to pay. But we end up saving half of what we should have paid because we cut a side deal. I need to know the terms, and to be honest with you, money, if it is to be on the list of demands, should be at the bottom of the list, because number one, America's money is worthless, you understand? And number two, we don't have the economic infrastructure to capture it. Number three, the only thing you can do with money is give it away in exchange for something, mostly junk if you're dealing with black folks, you see? And number four, because the benefit of slavery will never expire. The benefit of slavery to America will never expire. As long as there's an America, there's a benefit to be accrued by the enslavement of our ancestors. So whatever we get for reparations should also be things that can never expire. You understand? Money runs out. So money cannot be an appropriate retribution for slavery because the benefit that America receives from slavery can't run out. So whatever we get can't run out. whether that means free education, whether that means you never pay taxes again, whether that means that black people are given exclusive control over certain countries, exclusive controls over certain railways, waterways, industries, resources, those things can never run out. That's what I want. I want commodities and assets. I want wealth. Don't give me no damn cash. And I think with a lot of these reparations people, they're thinking about dollar bills. They're not thinking about commodities, wealth, and assets.
All right. Now, once again, today's podcast is titled The Asheville, North Carolina Reparations Okie Doke. You might have a different opinion. You might not think it's an okie doke, but you can weigh in 619-768-2945. I'm on the city of Asheville, North Carolina's website. The mayor is Mayor Esther E. Mannheimer. The vice mayor, white female. The vice mayor and councilwoman is Gwen Whistler. Or Whistler, another white female. Then you have Councilman Brian Jones, white. Councilman Vijay Kapoor, he's either Indian or Pakistani. Councilwoman Julie Mayfield, white. Councilwoman Shanika Smith, black. Councilman Keith Young, once again, the city demographics, 77% white folks, 12 or 13%. Hold on, let me get it right. City of Asheville, North Carolina. Okay. City of Asheville. I'm getting the demographics. I didn't want to miss. Okay, city demographics. Yeah, 77.95% white, 17.61% black or African American. So before I go to the phone lines, this is one of the reasons why I play Dr. Claude Anderson practically every time we start a podcast.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry.
Now, I need to find the statistics on the... But the business community... And I'm linking this up with something that Dr. Umar Johnson said. That's why I played it. He stated there are white folks that are praying that black folks get reparations. And I think Asheville, North Carolina is a textbook example of that right now. The majority of your city council and your two top positions, mayor and vice mayor, are held by white folks. The city council voted 7-0 in favor of reparations. Now, going back to the Claude Anderson piece, business interests essentially dictate to a very high degree what goes on. So what I'm theorizing here, based on Umar Johnson, and I had to sign off on it, co-sign with him, is that you got business interests in Asheville, North Carolina, that are pushing this legislation or have pushed it to the point that it is right now, because they have the infrastructure, the businesses, and the industries to capitalize on it. You already heard in one report, audio I played this morning, in the legislation it stops short of any mention of direct deposits. Matter of fact, it's a short clip. I got to bring it back up. But anyway. So, let's see, Asheville. So we already know, so far, this isn't over yet in Asheville, you know, and I'm sure they got a set of rules. What's the definition of a black person, African-American person that is vested, who is a stakeholder in Asheville, North Carolina? Let's go back to that. It's only a minute long.
In a historic move, the city council in Asheville, North Carolina voted unanimously to approve a reparations resolution for black residents. The resolution calls for the city to make investment in areas where black residents face disparities. It also asked the city manager to create a plan to build generational wealth and boost economic mobility in the black community. The resolution also includes a formal apology for the role the city played in slavery and enforcing racist policies. And Gail, we should note the resolution stopped short of stipulating direct payments, but we're seeing momentum for measures like this in places like Providence, Rhode Island, and California. And Gail, the fact that this is happening in a former Confederate state was noted by Keith Young, one of the two African American member council members. He said, hundreds of years of black blood spilled that basically fills the cup we drink from today.
Man, I say go Asheville, North Carolina. You know, a lot of people are opening themselves up to this conversation for the very first time. I think it's important when you look at the history, you'll have a better understanding about why so many people are pushing for that. So I think this is a good thing.
Okay, so they'll get an apology. I mean, first thing, they got to define, because, I mean, can I get up and move to Asheville, North Carolina right now? And be... I don't think it will be like that. But they've got to define that, because you will have people that will move or establish some type of residency attempt to just to get a check. So I'm sure they're going to have something in their guidelines on who qualifies for this. Were you born there? Do you live there? Were you born and you still live? They've got to define that. Who qualifies for it? Okay. But we already, as you said, so far, the direct deposit thing ain't happening. All right. So next thing is, you know, money that'll be put into some areas that might, where black folks on a critical mass basis in Asheville, North Carolina, might be marginalized. Well, that's been done a gazillion times before. Move out. Let us fix this up. Now, they might let them move back in. But if they let them move back in, will it be rent-free, mortgage-free, tax-free? What? You know, cities, particularly a city the size of Asheville, Asheville's got, what, 92,000 people. Okay. They got a payroll to make, number one. They got a city payroll to make. They got infrastructure, and you know anything about infrastructure maintenance. So there's always something. Potholes need to be filled in. Water lines need to be replaced. You know, office. There's always something on that government expenses that is going to require money from the tax base. And that's got to increase due to inflation. Pensions, people that work for the city of Asheville, they retire, they've got to be paid their pensions. So I'm looking at. Here's how I'm looking at it. Number one, and that's why I call this the Asheville, North Carolina reparations okey-doke. Number one, certain businesses in the know that get in on this, they're going to get tax deductions, regardless of race or color. Number two, it'll be interesting on how they're going to define what's going to be done. Who's going to get the contracts? You know, if they're talking about, okay, fixing streets or whatever, who gets those contracts? I got a feeling, although they might pick an area, but that if that area improves and the tax base goes up, then some of those people are going to have to move out. I don't know how they're going to. I really don't know how they're going to work this. But I guess they have to start off with who, what. Oh, and then we got to deal with the lawsuits. Okay, you know, define black. You know, because over the centuries, over the decades, over the centuries, mulattoes, quadroons, octoroons. Give me the definition of a resident. You know, we don't want nobody from New York City moving down to Asheville to get in on this. But I'm going along with the demographics of the city. 77% of the people who was going, and once again going back, I got to agree with Umar Johnson on this point, there are white people. Now, let's fit this in to Asheville, North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina demographics. 77% of the population of Asheville, North Carolina, they are prepared right now because they have the infrastructure, they have the businesses, the resources, and the industry to capitalize on any type of reparations programs that will take place in Asheville, North Carolina. Now, what I want to know, and I'm going to have to look it up, what is the percentage of business ownership and industry ownership by Africa? We know that 17% of the city is black, but are 17% of the businesses in Asheville, North Carolina, black? I don't know. Matter of fact, I'm going online right now. Let me see before I open up the phone lines. Okay, percentage of let me play this, so give me a minute, people.
Brooklyn Independent Television.
It's been nearly 2 months since the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission greenlit the Group Vehicle Ride Pilot Program. The program was designed to help commuters along corridors where bus routes had been eliminated. The B71 is the latest route to join the program, and Sherry Carabin jumped aboard the dollar van to find out if it's smooth sailing.
Our starting point is at Franklin. That's the starting point, and Eastern Parkway.
The B71 service area is among a handful that are part of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission's Group Ride Vehicle Pilot Project. The vans cost $2 a ride and are designed to assist those living in areas where the MTA has discontinued bus routes. The first group ride vehicles hit the streets around mid-September in Queens. Brooklyn's B23 and B39 routes are also part of the pilot. The B7.
Okay, I'm going to have to. I probably won't get it during this podcast. I'm trying to get the percentage of black business ownership and the percentage in in Asheville, North Carolina. But either way, I got to believe 70% of the benefit. And then when it comes to generational wealth, how are they going to define that? Because generational wealth, I'll give you an example. Let's say, and this is, I'm just shooting from the hip here. Let's say one of the perks that they give in this Asheville, North Carolina reparations is every, once they define what is a black resident of Asheville, North Carolina, then they, one of the perks will be, and I, this is hypothetically, people, your household will be allowed $100 worth of lottery tickets every month for as long as you live and for every generation after that. Okay. Let's look at the other side of the table on that. Some Indian or Pakistani or Asian convenience store owner gets awarded a contract that also is generational. That lottery, the selling those lottery tickets in that particular community stays in that family for, let's say, 99 years and can roll over. I look at that as generational wealth as well. So that means that, or if they decide to stay in that location that is declared marginalized, okay, they get special benefits and perks and tax breaks for being in there. That rolls over from generation to generation, although they're not black, but they're serving that area. Meanwhile, the family that's, they get $100, if they're black, $100 worth of lottery tickets every month. They come in and get their, you know, their $100 worth of lottery tickets every month. And you, well, let's face it. They're coming in to get their lottery tickets, free lottery tickets, for their entire lifetime. Yet, when they go in there, they're buying loaves of bread, they're buying cigarettes, they're buying stamps, they're buying everything you would find in a convenience store. I'm just saying, I don't know how this is going to look, but that's one possible scenario that could happen. So, I like I said, we got to get the infrastructure set up. But I think Asheville, North Carolina, thus far, is a textbook example of black white folks who had white folks and Asian. This council member Kapoor, okay, he's one of the people, and I'm sure they got some Patels in there. What if the Patel family, who have these motels in Asheville, what if they get the generational wealth contract from the city of Asheville, North Carolina, where, okay, you know, these people who are down on their luck or converted into a shelter or whatever. I'm just throwing ideas out there of how this could end up looking. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm sure with this legislation, you probably got more white folks and Asians celebrating than black folks. Asheville, if you want to check people, from the looks of her so far, don't go to Asheville, North Carolina if you expect a direct deposit check. Hey, but you got your reparations, though. Or it appears to be, it could be on the way. 314. Good morning.
You see that email I just sent you? Check that out.
Okay, I'm going to it right now.
Check that out. Then I want you to scroll down to the middle of the page where it says revenue, expenditures, and revenue.
Okay, I got email I got is headline tally Chicago shoot days.
Asheville.
Okay, hold on, got it. Well, let me read
subject
my page.
Asheville.
Got it. I got it. Okay.
Open it up. Scroll down. About middle of that data.
Doggone it. It won't let me. Hold. Let me. All right. I clicked on the link.
It goes to city
data. It says the site can't be reached.
Well, you need it. Then why don't you?
You know where? Hold it. Let me go to.
Why don't you?
Let
copy
me switch
and
over
paste
Chrome.
It.
You know, you're right.
Well,
let
you
me.
Got a tracker proof.
No, I can switch it over to Chrome.
I can't stand Chrome.
I'm gonna copy and paste this. Oh, every
last
2 months it when they do the update on the software.
Yeah.
You got to switch.
In the address. The last word should be north-carolina.html.
Okay, hold on, let me.
It get you there.
Oh, wait a minute. It won't let me go that way either.
Well.
And see the data. I've been on sites like that before. Let me try Google. Let me try.
CityDataCom.
All right, you said newcitydata.com?
No, city-data.com.
Oh, city-data.com. Okay, I'm there. All right, you put in Asheville,
North Carolina. North Carolina.
Okay, Asheville, North Carolina. Okay.
Got that?
All right. Yeah.
Scroll down the middle of the page where you get to a very colorful data expenditures and revenue.
Okay, hold it. This thing rerouted me to. City data, and
ad.
I got. Yeah, places to stay in North Carolina, Asheville, North
Come
Carolina
on down.
Population maps.
Come on down, all
Black
the way down.
Mountain.
Underneath local government, employment, and payroll. Your cursor on the right, pull down, be about 5/8 of the way down.
Okay, forms, cities, schools, neighborhoods, assessments.
Come on down.
Restaurants, sex offenders, blog, Canada. Building permits, city guides, tourism, banks, crime, work, jobs, houses, apartments, cemeteries, and zip codes.
Well, you got to scroll down beneath, all the way down beneath local government, employment, and payroll, March 2016.
All right, hold on. Man,
and what it's going to show you is the expenditure. The expenditure and the revenue of that city.
Are you going to have to give it to me from your end? Because
well,
I'm getting no cooperation on this end.
Yeah, if you look at the.
I'm on city-data.com. I'm on that.
/city/Asheville-North Carolina.html. You got that in your. Address bar.
All right. North Carolina. Let's try this again.
www.city-data.com/city.
This might work better on a laptop. Right,
what are you on your phone?
Laptop. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm switching over to a laptop now.
Your telephone is filtering out a whole bunch of stuff.
Right, city.
But that Omar Johnson, that guy, something must be wrong with him. I was listening to you pay attention to him. He talk about the $1 trillion income. Then the next thing he's talking about a $2 trillion income, of which either one of them is not accurate. Where are you coming up with this?
Don't know. Okay, Asheville. Now I'm on my laptop. Asheville.
And he makes a memory. Then he talks about what blacks need to have for their own. And even if they did have their own, like some people say, their own state, who's going to protect it? If they had the land, who's going to defend it and protect it?
Right. Man, what? Even on my laptop, all right. Hold up, I'm going to go to more. Okay, now I'm on city to... Hold up. You said something that would probably be more direct. All right, now. After... I'm trying to delete. After the .com, backslash, and what's after that? North Asheville?
citydata.com/city/Asheville-North-Carolina.html.
Asheville, then back forward slash?
/North-Carolina.html.
Okay. Man, oops, page not found. All right, you're going to have to, all right, this brief us from your end. I'll figure this out later.
Yeah, what it says, you was asking about how many businesses the city has.
Right. Yeah, but the percentage-wise. Oh, hold on.
Well,
I might find another way to get to this.
When you came to city data, it gives you a chance to put in the city that you're looking up.
Yeah, you know what? And I found it. Wait a minute. All right, Asheville... population 87,882, and I'm trying to get on Asheville specifically. Okay, it's going to that. I'm gonna bookmark this site. Okay. Yeah.
Asheville, North
population,
Carolina.
All right, it breaks it down. Males, 47.7%.
Okay, now come on, come down. Come on down.
Uh-huh.
Scroll down. You
right.
Go past the weather and the climate, tornado activity. Come on down. You come to government, banks, total for government. Then you come down to government finances, revenue in 2016.
Okay.
And it's
colorful. Man. A long year. This is colorful because I'm looking at the black population alone is 11.9%.
Yeah. You come down to where it says Asheville. Come on down below that. It's a Democratic city too. Has always been. Come on down on local government employment and payroll. And right beneath that, you have the government finances.
Okay.
And by default, it shows expenditure. So on the tab above, click revenue.
Okay, but I'm still scrolling down here.
It gets very colorful.
Presidential elections.
Yeah, come on down beneath that.
Solid waste management.
Come on down.
All right, Asheville government finances.
Okay, you on police protection, liquor stores, whatnot. Click revenue.
Okay, expenditures. Wait a minute. All right, revenue. Asheville government finances revenue.
All right, what's the biggest revenue generators? One is property. Two is water utilities. Three is general sales and gross receipts. And what's number four?
Hold it now. They got, I'm looking at charges, and they got a bunch of itemized things. They like parking, solid waste, miscellaneous commercial parks.
You still should be on a, you should be on a colorful data page.
Revenue.
You
they
should
got
be on
water.
Revenue. What's
right,
to the right
revenue,
of revenue?
Water utilities, $37 million. Liquor stores, $23 million.
Liquor stores is the fourth. Actually, liquor stores is larger than any other damn thing on there as far as revenue generation.
Mm-hmm.
Other than property taxes, water utility, general sales, and gross receipts, then the big square item is liquor stores. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I see liquor stores here.
That's the biggest business in the country. That's the biggest manufacturer of production in the city.
Hmm.
Where they get their revenue from. So I'm saying that the people in the damn town is all drunk.
Well,
you get a chance to look at that, just look at it.
Yeah, there's a lot here. There's a lot of information.
And you can do that for any city. And you know, And you know another thing too, they made a resolution. You know, resolutions are not binding.
Right.
Cities make resolutions all the time. In the city of St. Louis, they done a resolution for Jackie Robinson Day.
Okay.
My grandson. So they're not binding. But if that city, now what that city will probably do is put together something like an affirmative action hiring plan, say that on projects you have to have a percentage of this, that, and the other. But blacks are the smallest percentage than anyone there. Hispanics are a larger percentage than they are.
That's correct.
If you look at the information there, look at the household income. The average household income is about $50,000. Blacks' poverty rate is 26%. They less than that of Hispanics. Hispanics' poverty rate in this city is higher than blacks.
Well, like the audio sticks said, they stopped short of direct deposit. So,
and you know another thing too. Yeah. Then Umar say that blacks don't make their own money. So what is he talking about? They need to have a separate piece of land in the U.S. where they start printing their own money for their own little country. And as I said before, who's going to protect that? He makes mention
right.
about slaves not receiving paid wages. How do you know? Where's the bookkeeping on that, the records? And you yourself made mention where they had to get paid for something because they bought their relatives, right?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of them did.
If you don't pay taxes,
they bought their freedom.
Got...
They bought their freedom. They bought their freedom of other relatives. And, well, like in your neck of the woods, what's her name? Mother Priscilla Baltimore, born a slave in Missouri, bought her freedom. And then her and some family members. Went across the river to, that's how they started, Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
And that town's still
you
sitting
know.
There vacant, practically. Actually, you got more whites staying there than blacks.
Mm-hmm. But,
then if you don't pay taxes, who's going to maintain your roads and maintain the schools?
Oh, they're going to get got some kind of way. It's not going to be a free ride.
Yeah, and that town vote Democrat for as long as you can remember. And that's what I mean. That ain't nothing unusual here coming out of Democratic strongholds. And then you know this thing about for slavery. How many whites lost their life in the Civil War fighting to free blacks?
Quite a few.
Over 350,000 white males.
Might have been, I guess, they want reparations. Yeah.
You had more white males on the Union side die than you did on the. Well, you had more soldiers on the Union side die than you did on the Confederate side. And recently, they keep coming up with more records saying the total is about 800,000. That would be at least 400,000 or 500,000 on the Union, and 250 or 300 on the Confederate side.
Mm-hmm.
So all those white males gave their life, left their wives and children, widows, and old beings to take care of themselves. And these were the Union soldiers. So if they had been able to live, right,
mm-hmm.
and they would have been able to earnestly sought out the American dream in business or some other venture, what wealth would they have been able to pass down to their generations today?
Right.
That's the question. Good point of view.
Boy, this is. I'm bookmarking this. Say this. I'm looking up other towns besides Asheville. I'm looking up these itty bitty towns.
Blacks only make up 11% of that town.
Right.
To be such a small population, what in the heck's going on? How is it that the Hispanics and Latinos pass you up?
Well, let me see. Man, they break this stuff down, presidential elections. And
who did they vote for in the last presidential
election? That breaks it down to religion in the town. Boy. All right, thank you for this site.
Then Umar comes on there and he's come mentioning about war with Europeans. Now, why would he mention that? Why would he make so audacious comments like that?
Don't know.
Everybody is not seeing everybody. You always have these groups that's talking about going to war with somebody.
Well,
and like
this
I say,
is just what I need. Sorry, I'm listening to Bianchi. I'm just fascinated.
There's nothing wrong with cities coming up with whatever kind of St. Louis done it. I hope they do start playing like similar to St. Louis. I'm bringing equipment over there and rack up. Because you got a program and an opportunity, that doesn't mean that you can take advantage of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
but anyway, that's all I wanted to share with you and talk to you about.
Well, there's quite a bit. I'm gonna be on this Cedar City, man. I'll be on that site probably 2-3 times a week.
There you
and
go.
I'm gonna spend the rest of the afternoon on it.
Nothing like the data. It's the data tells you in which direction you need to go, where the problems lie, what the possibilities
right.
are. Same thing when you go to the doctor and get a checkup. And what
right.
is it?
Yeah, because I'm looking up. I'm not going to name the towns, but I'm looking up stuff now.
I got something else I'm going to give you too. I'm going to send that to you here.
Okay, great. I appreciate it.
That people should be using any damn way. When they check out, politicians. Why are you voting for politicians that's against your interests?
That's true.
Like I've seen the new Black Panthers with their black dress and clothing on and holding their rifles, and they was standing around a Stacey Abrams poster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, Stacey Abrams is on record for saying that she was elected, she gonna take away those guns. And
I'll be looking forward to that site.
Here they are standing around her, so I'm gonna send that to you right now. This is something that everybody should have any damn way. But anyway, I'm gonna get back.
All right.
This
well, look,
This
is gonna take up my afternoon here, but it's in a fun way, because I love statistics. Let me see Oklahoma. All right. Well, look, I'm gonna end it for today because it's after 12 noon here. So thank you, Pianchi. Thank you, other listeners. Everyone, have a good rest of the day, and bookmark. CityData.com on your phone and laptop.